The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Saturday's racing on this edition, and what a Saturday we have coming up. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:10pm with Mick Norton, Alistair Whitehouse-Jones and John Budden in the studio. It's Champions Day at Ascot, a whole host of top quality racing to look forward to there. We're also jumping at Cheltenham, day two of their showcase meeting. There's flat racing from Catterick, jumping from Kelso, and we finish today with an all-weather fixture at Wolverhampton. Plenty to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me in the studio to look ahead to the action is Lord John Budden. How are you, John?
Yeah, I'm very well indeed, Mark. And, I've been a tremendous sort of enemy, in inverted commas, in a soft way, of Champions Day, considering it's an enormous amount of money thrown away. I'm a bit of an Alistair Down supporter in this manner. But you have to say that Saturday's racing at Ascot is absolutely tremendous. And the fact that I'm going to concentrate on the four big races at Ascot when there is really top-class jumping at Cheltenham and at Kelso, yeah, underlines their fact, I think.
Yes, it really is a good day to look forward to this year. Obviously, no Frankel this year, which is one thing that we have had for the past couple of years. But also, alongside that, as you mentioned, John, we've got Cheltenham, we've got Kelso, good jumping racing to look forward to as well. I mean, if you can't get excited about this weekend, whether you're a jumps fan or a flat fan, then you're probably in the wrong game, aren't you, John?
You are in the wrong game if you can't get really excited about it. There's no doubt about that, Mark. I mean, the racing at Cheltenham is excellent, always is competitive stuff, and some really good horses returning. And up at Kelso, I know they've got a very good card there too, and there'll be a tremendous amount of border enthusiasts. I mean, say jumping is really accelerating.
It is, yes. So we're really getting into the swing of things now in the national hunt sphere. But let's like you said, John, we're going to focus on Ascot, so let's get stuck into that action now. The four races you're going to focus on mainly are the Long Distance Cup, the Sprint Stakes, the QE2 and the Champion Stakes. We also might mention the fillies and mares in there a little bit as well, but the first race is the 145. It's the Kipco British Champions Long Distance Cup, a Group 3 contest over 2 miles, and the betting is headed by Ascot Gold Cup heroine estimate, who won the Gold Cup for the Queen, of course. She's 2-1. Azima is 6-1. Eye of the Storm 8-1 with Harris Tweed, 11-1 for Caucus, Time's Up 12-1, 14-1 for Aiken and Biographer and Hijinx, and then 16-1 or bigger prices the remainder. So great to see Estimate back out, John. It's the first time she's run since her Gold Cup success.
Yes, this is a tremendous appetizer for the afternoon, actually, Mark, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, Estimate, it will be grand to see that filly score again. And I don't know if the Queen's going to be present at Champions Day, but I'm sure she'll be watching it, even if she isn't actually in the stands. I was a great Estimate supporter for the Ascot Gold Cup. Before it, though, there was just a little bit of question about stamina. She proved that she had it. But it could be, particularly if rain comes, that the ground might be a little bit against Estimate. And I think she's a bit short, Mark. Okay. What do you think?
Well, she loves it around Ascot, doesn't she? And she has won over 2 miles on soft ground there before. So I think she's got a massive chance. But yeah, like I said, 2-1 is a little bit short in a race as competitive as this, isn't it?
Well, she is the Ascot Gold Cup winner, the bookmakers would argue. And, 2-1 is, in their view, all right. But it's highly competitive, this. Azima, I think, has got a great chance. I think this is an improving horse. Very well backed for this race. Stays extremely well. Lightly raced this summer. Has improved, in my view, each time. I think Azima is really dangerous in this contest to Estimate. Are you a supporter or not, Mark?
Yeah, I think Azima's entitled to be right there. And at 6-1 as well, I think there's worse each way bets you can have on the day as well. So.
I entirely agree. I think Azima's got a really good chance in this race. There are others as well. You know, I'd love to see Harris Tweed go well. Seems to have been a rejuvenated character when partnered by George Baker, who really does seem to have got the key to Harris Tweed. Two excellent races at Goodwood. Handicaps, of course, back in company now in Group 3. Stepping up, but who knows? You know, I thought Harris Tweed was stuffed last time out when they came at him, but he just quickened away. And you know, he's a grand sort. He'll have plenty of support. Others in this race, I think, have got outside chances. Corker seems at a long price. John Gosden's got two in the race. Corker's won well listed race it was at Newmarket, unless my memory's gone sour. And in second place was a horse called Statutory, and I actually, Mark, oppose Statutory when it was odds on at Ponte last time out, and I have never seen a horse win more easily over a long distance at Ponte. So, you know, that was a good run from Caucus. It seems to be a double figure price at the moment. And the other one I thought who's overpriced is James Fanshawe's horse in this race, High Jinx. I don't know what went wrong in the pre-Cadron, because High Jinx was well fancied, well supported, never seemed to get into the race at all. But then Time's Up was also right towards the rear and ran on pretty strongly to get into the placings. Caucus was not that far behind in the end. Just seems that perhaps it was the ground or the way the race was run that High Jinx never got into that French staying trip. Prior to that, I thought he'd run extremely well at Doncaster, arguably a bit unlucky. James Fanshawe's horse is in really good shape. So, summing up, I think it's a tremendous race. Estimates obviously got a favourite's chance. I'm going to go for the improving Azima as my first choice. I do think there is value too for places, and the ones I like for placings are Caucus and High Jinx.
Okay, from the long distance stuff to the sprinters. In the 220, it's the Kipco British Champion Sprint Stakes, a Group 2 over 6 furlongs, and Marek is the 9-4 favourite for this. Jack Dexter 5-1, Vistoria 6s, Slade Power 7s, 12-1 for Heaven's Guest, Balmont Mast is 14-1, as is Hawkeye the New and Mass Rally, and then Cape of Approval is 20-1 with Hoofit and Serious Prospect, 33-1 or bigger prices the remaining runners. And Marek, John, a horse that you wanted to be with at Longchamp and then defied Grandma's rule and changed your mind.
I did, yes indeed, in the Pre-Lebe, and I think it's too short, Mark. I really do in this race. 9-4 in a really competitive sprint like this. He's got things in his favour, obviously. He ran extremely well in France and loves Ascot, loves the soft ground. Relatively fresh. Autumn is the time for him. But this is wide open, Mark, and I just think 9-4 is too short. What do we have the other way? Astonishing price for Hoofit, incidentally. 33-1.
20-1.
20, oh, yeah. I thought it was 33s. Yeah, well, Hoofit, you know, again, rather similar to Marek, loves the soft ground, runs well at Ascot, could be quite a decent outside bet at 20-1 rather than 33-1. Mass Rallies in this race. Oh, missed it at York. Oh, dear, oh, dear. Paul Mulrennan, you know, injured. PJ McDonald riding. I thought to myself, no, this is a horse that goes for Paul Mulrennan, not for PJ. How wrong I proved. But I don't think Ascot's quite his ground. Now, the horse who has to go well in this race is Jack Dexter, Mark. You know, you might say I'm biased, but this is the race that Jovial Jim Goldie has been aiming Jack Dexter at basically all season. And in my view, Jack Dexter has to be the selection here. I make that perfectly clear. I shall be opening the wallet and hurling a few notes on Jack Dexter. Sadly, I haven't done so already because we've probably got a slightly better price. But I was waiting for two things, Mark. First of all, whether the ground was going to be relatively suitable. I think it is.
Yep.
Secondly, Secondly, a draw does make a bit of difference, and I think he's drawn 13. Unlucky for some, but perhaps lucky for Jack Dexter, which means to say that he could well be coming nipping up the near side. Now, why am I going for Jack Dexter? Well, an enormous number of reasons. First of all, he was a very, very promising horse last year. He was clearly one of the up-and-coming sprinters, and a plus in his favour is that he ran extremely well at Ascot when he went there. So that's one reason. Secondly, I know that Jim Goldie has always rated this horse absolutely the top of his list, and he's done nothing wrong this year at all. Won first time out, and then ran a remarkable race at Royal Ascot, Mark. Some people say this horse is not sort of group class, but he was fourth in the King's Stand on ground that was much too fast for him. That was a quite brilliant run, and on the strength of that, I was convinced that he would be worth following in the autumn. They made him favourite for the Air Gold Cup. He was carrying top weight. I thought for a moment the ground was coming absolutely in his favour, but it wasn't, because it turned out to be sticky and tacky. If it had been run the day earlier, it would have been a different matter. As it was, I thought that Jack Dexter ran a tremendous race in the Air Gold Cup. To get into the first four under top weight in sticky ground in a really competitive handicap was a very good run indeed, and I know Jim Goldie thought so as well. The form of the Air Gold Cup's worked out pretty well. And here we are at Ascot on a day in which, he won actually a minor race last year. I think he's got a great chance. I really do. I should be very, very disappointed if Jack Dexter's not there or thereabouts. But there are others, aren't there, Mark?
There are plenty. And in these sprints, it's almost take your turn. They take the turn, don't they, each one of them? And I can see where you're coming from with Jack Dexter, though. I mean, Jim Goldie was in the Racing Post last week. Very positive about the chances. The run in the Air Gold Cup was a great run considering. And yeah, I could completely see where you're coming from, John. And he's still an each-way price for anyone. I know you don't do each-way, John, but you can have an each-way bet to nothing on him at 5-1 and just expect him to be there or thereabouts. So, yeah.
Yes. My view about backing each-way is that the horse is either going to win or he's going to flop a rama, and I hope he's going to win here. But, hoof it at a long price, Hawkeye the New. You can't actually dismiss Hawkeye the New either. Great race. I hope Jack Dexter goes really well.
Okay. The fillies and mares race is next, then. No real strong opinion here for you, John. It's a Group 1, though, with some top-class fillies and mares in the lineup over a mile and a half. And if I just spin through the betting when I find it, it's 7-2 for Talon. That's the favourite. Dalcala is 4-1. Hot Snap, sixes. Beldestrisi is 8-1 with Igugu and the Lark and Waylar. Nymphaea is 9-1 in seal of approval. The 12-1 outsider.
Yes, I hope Talent wins, really, if anything, for Stephen Powell. We had a tremendous argument in the studio before the St. Ledger. I poo-pooed Talent, thinking that he was a slightly fortunate winner of the Oaks at Epsom. I was proved entirely wrong. Talent ran, I thought, a tremendous race at Doncaster. He's got a great chance here of picking up a really valuable prize for the in-form Rafe Beckett stable at the end of the year. I think he will run really well. Well, a dangerous definite Dalcara, who seems to be in form at the right time. And I have a healthy respect for the Lark in this contest, Mark. I think that filly could be going under the radar a bit. But the stable are hitting a bit of form at the back end of the campaign, and the Lark is certainly improving. It would not surprise me to see the Lark go really well, but I want Talent, basically, to win.
OK. On to the Queen Elizabeth II Stakes, and this is the British Champions Mile. It's a Group 1 contest over a mile, and a great race to look forward to as well. At the moment, Dawn Approach is the 2-1 favourite. Maxios and Olympic Glory and Soft Falling Rain are all 9-2. Gordon Lord Byron is 11-1. Top Notch Tonto is 12-1. Elusive Kate 14s, and then 20-1 or bigger prices the rest. So Dawn Approach, on his final start before being retired to stud, John. He's had a little bit of a break, but he has had a long season. And I suppose with the ground being a little bit softer than probably ideal for him, what do you make of his chances?
Yes, very interesting, isn't it? The last race. One cannot but help think, Mark, that Connections will have done their utmost to have Dawn Approach really fit for this final contest.
Yeah.
He has, as you say, had a pretty hard season. I was opposed to him at Goodwood, but I thought he ran a really tremendous race. I thought Toronado definitely was going to win that contest at Goodwood, the Sussex Stakes, and when he sort of took it up and got his nose in front, I thought it's all over. Well, it wasn't. Dawn Approach fought back like a tiger at Goodwood, and he had done that all the time before. So I certainly can't dismiss Dawn Approach. I think there were excuses at Deauville.
Yes, yeah, bad leftwards, didn't he?
Yes, and say you know, you could say that at that time it was perhaps one too many for Dawn Approach, who'd had the hard race in the Sussex Stakes. I think that race could be the key to the contest, the Prix Jacques Marois at Deauville, because there are some very interesting sort of results in that contest. And for me, it was the race that had got all the credentials to suggest that horses who ran in it were going to go close in really big contests for the rest of the season. I think one's been proved right. Moonlight Cloud, of course, was a marvellous winner on Longchamp Day. I'm going to go for Olympic Gold. What sort of price have we on Olympic Gold? Olympic Glory.
Olympic Glory, 9-2, course second favourite of 3.
Yes, well, I thought Olympic Glory ran a tremendous race at Deauville. He definitely would have won in another couple of strides. Not that any disgrace for Moonlight Cloud, who basically is more of a sprinter. Intello ran third in that contest, and I thought Intello stayed on very strongly at Deauville. It was the reason why I basically went for him in the Arc. He was not disgraced, was he? Finished third in the Arc, a very good run indeed, on ground that was probably too soft. Lurking behind were Dawn Approach and Declaration of War. And it, to me, is the key race in this contest. Will Dawn Approach improve enough after the break to reverse the form with Olympic Glory? Personally, I say no, because I feel this is the contest that Connections of Olympic Glory have been waiting for. He's lightly raced. He's a class individual. As I say, he would have won at Deauville in another couple of strides. Very valuable prize. Olympic Glory, for me, has got all the look about him of a horse who is up to winning the QE2. It'll be a tremendous race, because quite a pet apart from Dawn Approach, we've got Soft Falling Rain, haven't we?
Yeah.
How did they go on Soft Falling Rain
also,
overnight?
Also 9-2 as well.
Yeah. I mean, I was very impressed with him at Newmarket, and Mike de Kock's horses are going really well. Soft Falling Rain, complete champion in South Africa. Big, strong horse. He'll go through the ground all right. I'm not that keen on Gordon Lord Byron in this particular race. I mean, he's been a marvellous servant to Connections,
yeah,
but surely this is asking a bit too much over the longer trip. Have you any real serious ideas, Mark? Are you biased in this race?
I am biased.
Oh.
I'm biased because I want Dawn Approach to go out with a win. Like you say, there's excuses. Well, there were excuses after the race for the race in Deauville. Toronado and him had the battles have both come out on top in each of them, and I think the one at Goodwood, like you say, he showed a great attitude in defeat there, and the fact that he's raced twice at Ascot, won both times at Ascot, he likes the course there. I just hope there isn't too much rain, because I think that could perhaps scupper his chances. But I was with Dawn Approach all year. I don't want to really desert him on his last run, so I hope he wins.
Yes, I think most people do actually hope Dawn Approach wins. I'm rather, you know, disloyally just going for Olympic Glory to shade. I can't believe the top-notch Tonto is good enough to win this race, incidentally. Ian McInnes,
yeah,
must be tearing out what hair he's got left.
He really needs the rain, doesn't he, top-notch Tonto? If it came up really soft, I suppose it would be a bit of a leveller and maybe help him get into the race, but he needs a lot of improvement to get on terms with these if conditions aren't in his favour, doesn't he?
Well, yes, he probably does, Mark. But of all the trainers in the business, Brian Ellison is no fool.
That's the thing,
and,
isn't it?
And, you know, connections have supplemented this horse at really quite a serious amount of money.
£70,000?
Yeah, £70,000 or £75,000. So, you know, they clearly think that Top Notch Tonto has got a major chance of getting in among the very substantial prize money. And who's to say they're not right? I personally think it's Dawn Approach for Olympic Glory. But you never know.
OK, the final race then that we're going to look at is the 405 at Ascot. This is the Kipco Champion Stakes. It's a Group 1 contest over a mile and a quarter. The race that Frankel bowed out in last year, John. And the horse that finished second to Frankel, Cyrus de Zeg, is the favourite for this year's renewal.
Yes, well, he you know, he is the comparative a short-priced favourite, in my view.
Even money. Yes.
Yes, question mark, Mark. I just feel that he is very short. And it's on the basis of basically one race. He'd been pretty disappointing throughout the summer. Mm-hmm. Since he's been racing, connections have kept faith in Cyrus de Zeg throughout that rather modest period of running, saying that the horse, you know, getting older, needed time to come to his own. And he did it. He won the Prix Dollar really well at the Longchamp Festival. And on the strength of that, you know, it appears that every professional punter and lots of other more loyal backers have just emptied their wallets and supported Cyrus des Aigles. The ground is in his favour. He's a lovely horse. He's getting a bit long in the fang, in my view, for the real top-class company. And I think he's too short. Yep. I'm going to look elsewhere.
OK. Well, Far is the 7-2 second favourite. Interesting on his return. Mukadram and Rule of the World are both 8s. And from what I'm led to believe, Rule of the World was bigger than that, but has shortened since Ryan Moore was confirmed to swing the leg over. Hillstar is 10-1. It's then 16-1 or bigger prices the rest. So there's a few in there that you could take him on with, isn't there, John?
Oh, quite definitely, Mark. Two of them in particular. I quite like Hillstar. I think this is a horse who will improve. I don't think he's quite done enough so far this campaign to suggest he'll win the Champion Stakes, but he could run quite well. Surely the two who the favourite have got to worry about are A, Far, and B, Ruler of the World.
Yeah.
And I've always been a Far supporter. I was last year. I thought he ran some marvellous races last year against Frankel in top-class company. And so when he reappeared for the Lockinge earlier in the season, I could not see beyond him. And so there was a stash of money on that day for declaration of war at Newbury for the Lockinge Stakes. But so Far went off, looked like going off at about 4-1, some sort of 5 minutes before the race. Was shortened down to 130, if I remember correctly. And he absolutely sent them to sleep. You know, I've never seen a horse in the early part of this season run with such impressive acceleration and speed. You know, it was a sort of minor Frankel effort. You know, when Frankel first ran in that 2,000 guineas and set off at you know, absolutely full belt, everyone said, oh, no, he can't possibly last the mile. Well, he did, you see, and of course he turned out to be the greatest thing since sliced bread. Far's not quite in the same category because he was beaten twice by Frankel, at least in good class company last year. But the acceleration and the domination that Far showed in that Lockinge against a very useful field, including declaration of war, suggested that he was going to be in for a really successful four-year-old campaign. Sadly, of course, he went slightly wrong. He apparently is very, very difficult to keep right. I read a little bit about the Godolphin team recently, and Saeed bin Saror was pointing out that, you know, basically they had to really look after Far. Mm-hmm. And after each race he had almost always came back with something slightly wrong.
Right.
And obviously it did go wrong at the Lockinge, but he's back here. I think they will have played tremendous determination to have Far super for this race, and I hope to see a great run. So I'm a Far man here. And prize money, Mark. What about the Trainers' Championship?
Yes, significant, isn't it?
Aidan O'Brien I thought this would be a race the declaration of war would go for. As it is, it's ruler of the world. Ran well in the arc, you know. Finished seventh, not beaten all that far. I was a little agin before that, but I have a feeling in my bones that ruler of the world is coming back to really top-class Derby-winning form, and Ryan Moore in the saddle plus money for. I think it is between myself, ruler of the world, and Far, and I'm hoping Far is going to be absolutely spot-on, so I'm going to go for Far, but a tremendous climax to Champions Day.
It is a great race to look forward to, and we'll see it all on Saturday evening. Great day to look forward to, John. We've been through most of the races there. If I were to ask you for your strongest opinion or your best bet at Ascot on Saturday, what would that be at the moment?
Oh, no. There's only one answer to that, Mark, and that is Jack Dexter in the sprint.
I thought it might have been John. Anyway, good luck. You'll be in the studio on Saturday, won't you, as well? So you get to see it all, and you get to see Cheltenham and Kelso and everything along with it. So good luck, John, and enjoy it on Saturday.
Thank you very much, Mark.
So there you go, the thoughts of Lord John Budden then for Champions Day at Ascot. Set to be a truly magnificent day at Ascot on Saturday. There's also racing from Cheltenham and Kelso over jumps. There's flat racing from Catterick, and we finished the day with an all-weather card at Wolverhampton. So a really good Saturday to look forward to on Racing Radio. You'll hear it all from 1:10pm with Mick Norton, Alistair Whitehouse-Jones and John Budden in the studio. Tune in for all of that. And just a heads up as well, keep an eye out on the William Hill website, news.williamhill.com. On Saturday morning, look out for the Saturday racing preview. We'll have Tom Queeley going through Champions Day at Ascot for us, and we'll have AP McCoy giving us his thoughts at Cheltenham. So a really good preview to look forward to there as well. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Saturday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.